I want to thank Dr. Cairns for the opportunity of coming to bring the Lord's Word to you this morning. It is always a blessing. It's always a privilege to be able to share the Scriptures, to open the Bible. I was not intending to come down here to speak this morning. I was lined up to go down to the week of prayer, to come down, and then was preaching in Winston-Salem. That had been lined up a few weeks ago. And then Dr. Cairns phoned just sometime last week and said, well, while you're coming, come down here and minister for us. I would rather be sitting down there and listening to our brother preach this morning, and we look forward to that. But I do thank God for the opportunity. And also bring you greetings from our church in Toronto again, and certainly from Dr. McClelland. And just to bring you a quick update on his physical condition. He is doing very well. He's still ongoing with some medication that he has to be on for the next year or so. And he's very tired and finds weakness a great problem. And it's not just old age. It's the problem with the medication. He reassures me of that and his feeling of weakness and somewhat of depression. But nonetheless, the Lord is helping him through. And I know he would has appreciated your prayers and would continue to do so. It's always a privilege for us to come down and fellowship with you here. Of course, the drawing card is a little bit, my daughter being down here, and I'm happy that Brother George Robinson's traveling with me too, and he's able to come down and visit with his own daughter, Jane, at this time. I would ask you to turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 11. While you're looking up there, I know you've all been listening to the news about the problems of the hurricanes that have devastated much of the area of Florida and certainly the Caribbean islands. And we do have a mission in Jamaica, and they received the tail end of the hurricane, and it did quite a lot of devastation there in that island, not nearly as bad as Haiti. But we started a relief fund for the people directly involved with our mission, and those who are neighboring families around, that we might be able to distribute some practical help to them. And so we started that a few weeks ago in our church, and then a week ago Monday, I announced it in our school assembly. The next day, a teenage boy came into my office, and he said, when you mentioned that yesterday, I knew the Lord was touching my heart. I had to do something. And so he went to his birthday money, he passed me an envelope, and it contained $200 toward that relief fund. Not much to some people, but a lot to a teenage boy who was going into his birthday money. And the next day, another envelope of $100 was on my desk. And the day after that, another young person came forward with another $200. So the Lord really was moving among the young people. And then here's an amusing one. Just this past week, before we came away, a little girl came into the office, and she had in her hand a little paper towel and had a bunch of coins in it. And she just held it up to me and she said, this is for Jamaica. And she smiled. And all the teeth were missing at the front. She said, this is my tooth money, she says. So it added up to $21.75. That was the amount. And you know, the Lord smiles and rejoices of that. And that to Him, the Lord's not interested in the amount of money. He doesn't need our money anyways. And it's a blessing to see young people giving and being touched by that to help other people who stand in times of need. We're reading in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start reading at verse 33. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's pause, please, for a moment's prayer. Father, it is our privilege and joy to once again have the word of the Lord open to us. And we pray that this morning, for the moments we have left in this service, that we would be shut in to the Lord. We pray, O God, that the Holy Ghost will come and sanctify our hearts. And, O God, that we would know the focus of our attention upon the things of God this very morning. We pray, Lord, that the distractions of yesterday and the concerns that often face us about tomorrow would not intrude upon this sacred time now. I pray that Thou wilt come and help me and fill me, O God, with Thy Spirit, that I may speak clearly and simply the words of the Lord. Father, I pray that no one in this church building this morning would misunderstand or misconstrue any word. The Holy Ghost would make these words simple and plain, and they would be words of encouragement to Thy people. They would be words of enlightenment to those who are without Christ. Father, hear our prayers today. How we need Thee. O God, we stand as weak mortals. We stand not in our own strength. And yet, Father, we rejoice as the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so we rejoice this day in our standing and position in the Lord. We rejoice that all these blessings have come to us through Christ, and that we are indeed blessed with these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So hear our prayers today. Continue to be with us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We come again to a very well-known portion of the Word of God. We have the great cloud of witnesses, people whom God has raised up, people who experienced and expressed their faith, oftentimes in the most difficult of circumstances. These are men and women who are marked in the Bible and who have made their mark on the canvas of church history, we could say. And they were often neglected. Often people who had to take a very lonely stand for truth. Some by going forward not knowing the way in which they were going to go, only trusting that the Lord was leading them. Some of them suffered extreme persecution. Some with mighty acts of valor, and some who endured cruel mocking. Some were just common folks, others were kings, princes, queens. Some witnessed in peaceful times, others in very tumultuous times. Some were leaders and some were just noblemen, others were common laborers. But you know, whatever station of life they had or occupied, whatever notable act they were able to accomplish, they all had one thing in common. And it's this verse that I want to focus your attention on this morning, verse 34, and one line. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. We may not have had the opportunity of great acts of heroism that some of these folks had, and most certainly, we did not live in the times in which they lived. But we can all relate to this one aspect, this one characteristic that is noted here about them. Out of weakness, they were made strong. And I want us this morning to look at these words, to draw some in lessons, to encourage us, and to instruct us this morning. And I pray that the Lord would help you, because it's quite possible that you find yourself here in our congregation this morning, going through a time of great weakness, a time when you're wondering, has the Lord's mercy been drawn back from my life? These words are written for our learning and our encouragement today. And there's one thing we're confronted with as we think about this text, and that is that we are all naturally weak people. There is a fact of this weakness. The great cloud of witnesses, as representative of all saints, were not abnormal in the fact of their weakness. They were weak in and of themselves. It was a consequence of their relation with Adam. For before he had fallen in the garden, he knew a communion, a strength of both spirit and intellect that was seriously damaged after the fall. And so from Adam's time down, we are all bearing that mark upon our lives, the mark of weakness. All the liabilities of that sinful nature are upon us. We have emotional instability. There are limitations of our intellect. There are physical limitations. There are the frailty of our own flesh. Susceptibility to sickness and the disease and a host of other maladies that all affect us as human beings. Israel was not able to stand before Amalek. They were not able to stand before Amalek because they were a weak people. God had not chosen them because they were a strong people or more in number than anyone else, because they were weak in themselves. Some people might look at Samson and say he was a man of great physical strength, but he was a weak man by his own power and in himself. But what do I mean by this weakness? It may be that there are some people, perhaps young people in our congregation today, and you may think yourself in the very prime of life, in the midst of your studies. You have in your mind all your faculties, and you're able to express your thoughts very clearly. And perhaps you think that you are strong in yourself. But if you think that, and you continue that way in your life, you are headed for a great illumination. For you're going to find that if you rest upon your own strength of intellect, strength of spirit, or strength of character, you're going to fall upon your face. And though you might be able to match intellect against other people, yet still, when you come to stand and do battle against the greatest of human attackers, you find yourself faced against Lucifer. You realize that there is no way that I can stand against such a power. And you will fail. And there is indeed not just the fact that we are weak, but it's very foolish for us to deny this weakness. Now, this is the proud heart of man that does not like to admit weakness or failing. Not long ago, there was a man who came into my office in school. His children do attend the school. And he said to me, he was relaying some of the problems he was having personally in himself. His weakness regarding temptation, the weakness that he had with his temper and controlling his temper, and a host of other things. And he said, you know, it is an amazing thing. For 5 years ago, when he was saved, before that, I would never have been seen telling anyone of my weakness, because he felt proud in himself. And he knew that as he was going to express his weakness and his liabilities to other people, it was a direct attack upon his own pride of heart. And he could not have done that. This is often where we find the fierce competitive spirit within people. They do not like to lose. They do not like to suffer defeat, because in suffering defeat, it's an evidence of our weakness. It would be very foolish for us to deny this. And again, I express to young people, one of the greatest dangers that you will face is a lack of understanding of your own personal weakness. And the idea that you think, I can overcome this by my own strength. You will not be able to. It is foolish for you to deny that. And if you think you are able to, you will most definitely fall into some sin. And the consequence of that will be great shame. There is a fact that we all have to face. And the fact is that we are weak in and of ourselves. But I want you to notice in our text, there is the word made. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Here is the word I want you to focus on, because this is something that happens outside of the individual. We are made strong, not of ourselves, but we are made strong by the supernatural power of the Lord's Spirit in our life. And until we come to recognize the truth of John 15, where the Lord said, without me you can do nothing. For without Christ working in our life, we are unable to accomplish the very simplest tasks for the glory of Christ and for the extension of His kingdom. It is a very supernatural thing. Some years ago, during the time of the persecution of the Huguenot Christians in France, it was after a time where there had been somewhat of a reprieve. And then on the scene came Louis XIV, and he revoked that Edict of Nantes, which again started a great wave of persecution among the Christians. At that time, in 1730, there was a city called Aigues-Mortes. It means dead waters. And there stands this day a tower. It's called the Tower of Constance. And it's where the Protestant heroine Marie Durand was imprisoned. She was imprisoned there at the age of 15 years. Her father and brother had been captured. Her father was sent away to the galleys. Her brother was hanged. She was in that tower for 38 years of her life. We say that very quickly. 13,870 days. She was in that tower, confined there as a prisoner. Why? For her faith in Jesus Christ. And the fact that she would not submit to the teachings of Rome at that time. She suffered in that dark, cold tower. She suffered physical difficulties. She suffered the attacks by her tempters. She suffered the fact that there was not the hygiene that would have been necessary at that time. She suffered all these things. But she became herself a very strong symbol, not only to those who were in the prison and those prisoners who had come, but to those who were outside. Her reputation was very, very widespread as one who was going to stand for her faith. And I stood in that tower, and there was a stone, and inscribed in that stone was a French word, resistere. And it was believed that it was inscribed whether by her or by people who were in that tower as prisoners. And how was it that Marie Durand for 38 years was able to resist the temptation of giving in to her captors? Was it by her own power? Was it by her own strength? Was she able at that point in time to resist because she was of strong character? She was weak in herself. But out of her weakness, she was made strong. And she was made strong by the operation of God working in her life. She was a surrendered person. And my friends, if we are going to be made strong in the Lord, there will most certainly be a surrendering of ourself to the purposes and the ways of God in our lives. On December the 27th of 1768, she and the two remaining prisoners in that tower were released. Her body, very racked by the pain that she had suffered and by the consequences of that prison term, but she had remained faithful unto the Lord unto the end of her trial and that time of her own testing. You see, my friend, when we realize that we are made strong not in ourselves but in the Lord's gracious Spirit, it leads us to greater dependency. Dependency upon the Lord. And we find those words of Isaiah 40 and 31 so precious to us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And it may be that in the course of your own Christian life, you feel that your feet are slipping. You feel that the weakness and the trial and the burden of life is encroaching upon you. And yet it's just at a time like that we come back to realize that we are made strong by the Spirit of God that is the motivating principle within the life of every child of God. And the more we are brought to depend upon Him, the more, my friends, that we are going to see victory in our everyday life. We are weak in ourselves to be able to resist the devil and to overcome the flesh and the temptations that are so great and so relentless, it seems. But yet we find that in us, as the Lord is working, He strengthens us. And it is a great paradox, because the apostle said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. And it's only when we come to understand that it's not something that comes from within ourselves. It is from outside. I've had in my own life many lessons to learn from John 15. And I've had to learn it over and over again. And I'm sure I'm not at the end of it. Without the Lord, we can't do anything. We are brought again to depend upon what Christ has done and our union with Him, our connection with the Lord. Never lose sight of that fact, because the more we depend upon it, the more we are going to realize His strength being perfected in us. Perhaps you sense your great weakness today, weakness in the inability for serving the Lord. Then come and draw out again in dependence upon Christ. I want to also mention this morning and ask the question, how are we going to be made strong in Christ and in the Lord? How are we going to be made strong? Well, if you just turn your eye back one verse to number 33, it tells us who through faith, Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith. And the Old Testament church, they had all the promises, but these promises were the coming of Messiah, the coming of Christ. And yet they were able to do such exploits. They accomplished all this by oftentimes being outnumbered by the enemies that came against them. And they did not have equal equipment. They were outmaneuvered so many times. They were weaker in so many ways. And yet they obtained great victory. And they obtained great victory. How? It was through their faith. But it was through the fact that their faith was grounded upon the promise that God had given to them of the Messiah that was coming. They looked forward to Calvary. And my friends, we are going to be made strong through our faith looking forward to what Christ has done for us. Looking forward to the great hope that we have of the return of Christ. For He has promised to go and prepare a place for us. But in that promise, He is going to come again to receive us unto Himself. Let us not lose sight of the great eternal goal that we have. Of the purposes that God has working in our life day by day. But not to be overcome with these things. But looking forward. Ever looking upward. To the great and eternal mercies of the Lord to us. These people, as we've read already, they subdued kingdoms, as Joshua did. They overcame giants, as David did. They endured the fire, as the three Hebrew children did. They stopped the mouths of lions, as Samson and as Daniel did. As one commentator put it, neither fire nor water, nor man nor beast is so strong, but faith may make a weak man victorious over them all. I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. This is the account of King Asa as he was faced by the army of the Ethiopians. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 11. And this was after Asa had set his army against the enemies that had come. And then in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Asa did not depend on the fact that Israel had an army that was well equipped. He certainly did not depend on the fact that he had outnumbered the enemy, because he was outnumbered 2-1. But the fact is that Asa relied upon the strength of the Lord that was outside of himself. And he said, Lord, we rest upon Thee. And those words in that scripture were the ones that inspired that hymn we have, hymn 600. We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe, strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender. We rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. Asa's confidence was not in himself. In our stand for truth in this day, we may not face the enemy of the Ethiopians, but we are outnumbered. We face strong enemies, and they are outnumbering us by a long shot. And yet still our confidence needs to be the same that Asa had. Lord, we rest on Thee. We come to rest by faith that the Lord will overcome the enemies that we face. He will be our strength, our shield, and our defender. We must learn to glory in our infirmities, in our weakness. And again, that sounds strange. But as the Apostle said, we will glory in our infirmities for this purpose, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Are you resting today in your own confidence and strength? Are you thinking you're going to overcome the temptations of the evil one? Are you going to become victorious over the enemy by your own power? And here, my friends, we have to be careful as believers. Because the old pride of our heart oftentimes rises up when we have become victorious in past times. And we think we're able to handle the matter now. That sin, that temptation that so affected us before, we've had the victory, and now we're going to be able to maintain that victory. That is just exactly when we're going to fall flat down on our faces. We dare not depend upon self. We need to pray the Lord would increase our faith. Increase that which is oftentimes so weak within us. Think now, where is your own weakness? Perhaps it's in some duty that you have shrunk from. Some lust that has consumed your thoughts and taken over your mind. Perhaps it's a difficulty in prayer and in private devotions. Maybe you're struggling to give up what you know dishonors God in your life. And that struggle has been going on for some time and you're still trying to do it by your own energy. Maybe you feel, I cannot witness for the Lord. Giving out a gospel tract is such a hard thing. My friends, you're not going to be able to do this by your own power. But I say, bring all of your weakness to the Lord. Openly admit the fact that you're unable to accomplish even the simplest things for the Lord. And you will stand exactly where these people stood. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Because their strength, it was not found in themselves. Mr. Spurgeon said, I am fearful and am afraid to step out and to trust the Lord. I'm afraid of dying. He says, and perhaps someone else is looking and saying, I'm afraid of all these fears that I cannot even put a finger on them, and yet I'm overcome with these phobias. He said, Jesus Christ did not come to give you comfort while you were under the fear of death, but He came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Bring those fears unto the Lord. Bring those cares, those needs. And as we come to humble ourselves before the Lord in this matter, the Lord will abundantly hear. He will abundantly answer. He will step into that point in your life where you say, Lord, I cannot do this by my own energy and power. Be encouraged this day, my friends, because what they did in Hebrews 11, they were not superhuman people. They were not super Christians. They were merely humans who had put their trust in the Lord, and they walked by faith. And that's where you and I need to be today. We would walk in the faith of Christ, staying very close to our Savior, drawing the light and the love and the energy from Him, that He would be our strength for every challenge and battle that we have to face. My words today have been to believers. But I would say to you, friend, if you do not know Christ here this morning, and you're trying to go through life and you think you're going to accomplish all that's set before you, and you don't have the root of the matter in your life, you don't know the Savior, the gospel doors are still open today. And I would encourage you and challenge you to surrender your life unto Christ, to repent of your sin, and to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you'll find the Lord is open and willing and ready to receive you unto Himself, that you might live a life of fulfillment, of prosperity, not in any kind of temporal way, but a life of fulfillment, knowing that you are fulfilling God's great purpose for you in your life. I pray that the Lord would put His hand upon you today, and you'd be encouraged to follow after Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I ask this morning that Thou will take the Word of God and stamp this Word upon every heart. Help us to realize, O God, that we outside of the Lord Jesus are nothing and can accomplish and attain to nothing. Help us, we pray, Lord, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due time. Forgive us for the times, Lord, in which we have thought to accomplish this by ourselves, thought to be overcomers by our own strength. We have to be brought again to realize our great dependency upon the Holy Spirit in our life. Hear our prayer this morning. Continue to be with us, Lord, as we take this short break and then come back to be around the table of the Lord. May every heart be prepared, and may we come again to give thanks with openness of heart for all that our Savior has done for us. Hear our prayers, and bless us now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.